Welcome to It's Too Early Podcast, the podcast for the young workforce of Central Illinois who are up early and building something great. I'm your host, Jack Hart, and every Tuesday and Thursday, I sit down with the next generation of workers, leaders, and creators to talk about how they got started, where they're headed, and what keeps them going. These are real stories from young people figuring out and forging their path, because sure, it's too early, but the coffee's on, the mics are hot, and we got stuff to talk about. Let's get started.
I got so much more confidence, understanding, and learning that, wow, you guys really have what it takes. You are a national touring act. And we were hearing this from people who used to manage Lit, you know. Please tell me why.
Oh, that song. Yeah.
He also managed Sixpence None the Richer. He manages them right now. Their song, So Kiss Me.
Yep. And that one too.
Dude, he also managed Tupac. This is just one manager.
That's crazy.
And he was found online. We actually had a lot of different managers find us online through social media.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nuts because we're coming from cornfields and nothing.
Oh, there's nothing. I mean, it's
there's nothing around
it's just
here.
It's small. It's very, but you say community based. I mean, that's why we're here. We're talking about how uplifting and one community can come together to support you guys. And here you are talking to these big managers who are doing people like Tupac out here. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing. The first manager that we talked to found our manager, John Runyons. Awesome guy.
Still, I worked with him last summer. Good
he's
guy.
He's killer.
Great guy.
Man. When he wants something, he'll get it. And that's the mentality you need.
That's why LRS keeps him around.
Oh, dude, yeah.
100%.
And so John made it big on TikTok for doing remodeling and construction.
I've seen that. A lot of people have probably seen that before. Is he tried to make a nightclub?
Nightclub basement.
Nightclub in the basement. I was like, all right, cool, John, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, Julia was in my grade at the time, I think. And I'm like, Julia, your dad's going out here and building a nightclub.
He's doing it.
I'm like, all right, cool. Matt, I was like, Matt, your dad. He's like, I don't know. I was like, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, he couldn't really care about that. But the thing is to take away from that is we were having this guy named Jay Rich come up to us, and Jay Rich is Offset's personal sound engineer.
Okay.
He had Unchained merchandise, Offset.
Man.
Like, we were going to Chattanooga and almost had a deal. We did have a deal offered to us, but they were going to give us maybe a couple thousand dollars for this outrageous percentage that they would get back to them.
As they all do.
Outrageous.
For
and that's the thing that was my first indicator. Going there, they interviewed all of us, you know, and each different interview with every bandmate was different. Some of them were saying, you got what it takes, like you're the freaking lion. You're the lion of the den. Are you ready for 1,000 girls to come up to you? Like, they were telling me this shit.
Man.
And I'm like, what am I hearing right now? Like, these guys are coked out of their minds.
What it takes to be a manager. I mean, that music business, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a good example behind the scenes.
And so not only they were having Offset come to this, it was a sawmill. And so when we went down to Chattanooga, this was one of the first big excursions for Unchained because we were trying to get picked up by upper management so John can just kind of still be there but have, you know, the real music industry people take us in the right way, because it's really hard to do it on your own. And when you have other people there to just open doors for you and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, it's like, whoa, you're so-and-so? Here you go. Here's the door. Open it up.
Yeah.
You know, what do you got? That's how it is. You know, money also talks as well. A lot of these different things, like going on tour with a band. We went on tour with a pretty big band in the 90s called Head PE.
Okay.
Those guys are awesome. Really, really good band, and they're like metal, rap, metal, reggae. It's, you know, screaming and stuff. Like, yeah. I can't even do it.
That's impressive.
I tried to have them teach me on tour. It was pretty insane to understand that these men all had day jobs on top of touring.
Goodness gracious. That'll take it out of you. But hey, you love it, you do it once again.
You do. And you live and learn. And that first tour, we were paying them every single show, like $300, $400 just to play with them, just to open for them for maybe 30 people.
Yeah.
even though we were guaranteed $1,000 a night.
That's kind of nice, at least.
We didn't get 1,000 people a night, though.
That's true. I guess you, if you're only in 30.
We were guaranteed, and we didn't get 1,000 people. So, and we were paying. And this is the thing about realizing that, wow, this is a lot harder than we expected.
Yeah. That's probably the other side. Oh, this is a hard industry to work in. Well, you guys went down to Nashville. When did you go down to Nashville? You did a couple things down there. That could have been recent.
So that was recent. So we had the head PE tour. Right. That was the summer of, I think, 23.
Okay.
That same summer, we opened up for Lit and Everclear.
Okay.
And Decatur. And then we also had a Battle of Bands that we won in St. Louis.
I think I remember
St. Louis Cardinals. We won that.
I do remember that.
So there's a couple of different things that just happened, just perfect. You know, like everything was falling in our hands, like exactly how we wanted it.
Yeah.
And the one thing that changed was when we started going to Nashville, the management started giving us advice. And so this advice, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course.
I was taking it. Other guys in the band, maybe not so much, you know? And so that was kind of our divide, especially with the social media game, which now, since I've left the band, I don't know if it's because I was pushing them too hard, but now they're having at least like 5,000, 6,000 followers because they're just doing it. Because maybe they realize, shit, like we actually have to do this.
Yeah.
Because you kind of do. You kind of have to do it. It sucks.
It's
spending
true.
Time, you know, building a platform. I built two different accounts. One of them at 10K got taken away. You know, people report you for falsely accused claims that you didn't do.
Of course.
You know, and then you have to build another account. I did it again, got disabled. And then you're like, wow, I'm spending all this time just to get my name out there, just for all of it to be taken away.
And that just takes it out of you. Just totally takes it out of you.
And at the end of the day, playing these shows and actually touring like a real band did back in the 80s, back in the 90s, right?
Yep.
Even way back when to the freaking Beatles. Dude, they were playing and gigging out because in reality, people want to see you. Just like when you're doom scrolling on your phone, you're not really going to pay attention until someone's in person right there in front of you.
Yeah. No. And that's...
So that's what I learned on the road and going from open mics to getting paid gigs to even paying to play for somebody. You know, it's a tough industry. It's really hard.
It's tough. You don't realize it. And I mean, that's why there's not that many big musicians because,
yeah. And
there's a lot of talent. I'll go watch an American Idol, a Voice, whatever. Those guys are never make it usually.
And then even if they do, you look up their careers, most of them, Benson Boone is an exception, but he dropped out.
That's true. Yeah.
He didn't even go the full way because he knew they would take advantage of him. And this is the thing about the industry. They'll see talent. And they will try to get a crazy amount of percentage like those guys in Chattanooga.
Yep.
Right? It's pretty wild, but to do it for about probably 6-7 years now, probably about 3-4 years seriously, is I've learned a lot.
Of course.
You know,
I mean,
learned a lot.
And that's like you think of like Taylor Swift. She just got back her albums. Morgan Wallen, another American Idol voice there. He got used to, when he was younger. He's a bunch of songs that he still doesn't own.
Right, yeah. You see, like, old videos of all these artists, like, even, like, Chappell Roan, Morgan Wallen. It's like they're playing to nobody.
Yeah.
Playing to nobody for years and years and years. And then out of nowhere,
boom, that's it.
Ignites. And then it just keeps on going if you do everything right.
And then you got to make sure you do everything right because then you could go boom and then fall off. I mean, that's what a lot of one-hit wonders always happens.
Yeah. And so when we were going to Nashville, the guys that were mixing our stuff, they mixed – not only Chris Stapleton, right, but they did stuff with Beyonce. It's like those are two huge names.
That is.
And he's mixing our stuff because he wants to, not because he just wants a quick buck. Because he can say yes to anything, but he was loving our first EP that so much he took our next EP, which would continue to be the album. And so that album's actually out. It's called Waterfront, and it's a paid homage to our producer who worked on that. His name is Cameron Yates, and Cameron Yates is from around here. So like I said earlier, people around in this community support us so much that the reason why we got to Nashville was because of him, because of people around us that encouraged us, that gave us the right things to do. all we had to do was just keep on following through and keep on pushing, you know, but it's really hard.
It's a grind. It sounds like a grind.
It's a grind. And if not, everyone's in there to make a sacrifice to say, I'm not going to go out with my girlfriend or my family tonight because I got to practice music or I got to write a song. You know, I was going from college at Illinois State to recording and writing music at 7 p.m., 8 p.m. at night after I do my homework.
That's crazy.
We do it over Zoom.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, like, did I waste time? No. It wasn't a waste of time. So I always think Unchained is how I'm more confident now in singing, entertaining people, understanding that you got to embrace the suck.
Of course.
Before you can get something good.
Which is with anything in life. You know, there's going to be, I mean, I'm sitting here with my second podcast ever. Who knows what's going to happen, but, you know, you sit there and you keep grinding and grinding, and sounds like what you've done. So I want to take a little break here. So I do a segment on my podcast. It's called Think Fast. Okay. So it's a sponsored segment by Pristine Pastries, gluten-free brand. Everyone, you can find them once again in our links. It's my sister's brand. She loves it. Does gluten-free stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you three absolutely random questions. And I want to know your answer and see if you get them right. All right?
All right. Let's try it out.
All right. So first one, which country has two capital cities that both serve official functions?
Can I get any, like, any hints?
I'll give you a couple hints.
Okay, is it a European country or is it a Latin country?
It's not any of those.
What?
It's in Africa. I'll give you that hint. I didn't know this till this morning, to be honest with you.
I don't want to say South Africa because that's too obvious, but is it?
It's South Africa.
Oh, let's go.
There you go. Apparently, South Africa, Pretoria is the executive, Cape Town's the legislative.
Cape Town.
Those are the both two capitals, but then apparently, I don't even know if it's pronounced right, Bloemfontein, I'm gonna say that sounds right, is judicial. So instead of like having everything in Washington, D.C., it's like, all right, let's just split it up into three towns and make it, I guess it's easier to keep everything separate.
It is. And equal. I mean, we have states, they have three different things.
Three different capitals. I don't know much about South Africa right now. That's about it. All right, second question. What is the only food that doesn't spoil even after thousands of years?
Is it a form of grain?
It is not. It's not rice. I'll give you that one.
Okay, that was my guess.
I know. I would have guessed rice, too. It's something you wouldn't think about. It's natural, though. It's a natural thing found in the wild. Well, I guess not. Yeah, it is.
Is it like a leaf, like a spinach, or like a?
No, but it's close. Mr. Producer, do you know the answer over there?
I think I have a guess.
What's your guess?
I don't
care.
Go ahead.
I'm just gonna guess. I just completely random. I could be totally off. But is it like honey?
Yeah, how in the world did you know that?
Whoa.
Mr. Producer over here is smart. That's why I have him doing all the technical
stuff.
Look
at that. Honey. I love honey.
I know. Honey's good.
I use it like every day in my tea.
It's great for fitness and stuff like that, too. Very healthy.
Yeah, it is.
Mr. Producer, you're doing great back there, by the way. I know. We like to yap. This guy over here, he always is doing all my hard technical stuff. he's wonderful, though. He does great. If you guys want to watch and learn more about him, first episode, pre-episode, you can learn about Anthony back there.
Anthony.
Taylorville guy. All right, number three here. So which of these animals can sleep one half of their brain at once? All right, I'm going to give you four animals. Dolphins, bats, owls, and cats. One of them can sleep with half their brain open, half asleep.
Cats.
Nope, not cats.
Oh, bats.
Nope, not bats. You felt really confident about
rats.
Those. No, not rats. There's only one left, you have to guess. It's dolphins.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. Sea creatures are crazy, man. Especially going scuba diving. Have you ever been scuba diving before?
I have. It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. I'm going to try to go in Key West this year.
Hopefully. Is it the water clear down there?
They said the diving down there is pretty compared to like Honduras, and that's some really good diving.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah.
They said it's really comparable to, I mean, you're close by the Caribbean right there.
That's true. I guess you're near, like, I've been to the Bahamas and stuff, and it's crystal clear.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And my drummer said he's a scuba diver. He's been scuba diving seven different nations.
That's insane. Yeah, seven different nations.
Yeah, he's pretty wild.
Man. Well, you know, if you ever go diving and you see a dolphin, think maybe half their brain is asleep.
Like, wow, they're sleeping right now. Or are they?
I don't know. They're smart. Their brain's probably bigger than mine. They always like to throw basketballs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
Speak and love on humans. I don't know. I need a pet dolphin. Anthony, we need a pet dolphin.
Yeah. Put a dolphin in the background.
You can name it.
There you go.
All right. We can have a mascot. Maybe
that's,
the new
that's
heart.
It's like the, you're just riding a dolphin.
Yeah, exactly. I think Heart Media Group, we should have a dolphin for a mascot.
You're like in a cowboy hat, just like riding dolphins.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'll get one of those, like, instead of those, like, shark suits, I'll get a dolphin suit and just walk it through here. Like, and here's our mascot break, everyone. The dolphin. I guess so. All right, well, we're going to continue talking with Mr. David Allen here. Wonderful guy as well. Loves to chat it up. So let's continue talking about the band. So, Sushi Roll. Brand new, you've been into it. How long have you been with Sushi Roll now?
Since November of 24, and it's June now, so.
About a half year, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
six, 7 months.
So tell us, number one, why the change? Why now, you know, being down 24 years old, changing to go into a band that's in, based in Chicago? I know you're in Springfield. Yeah. It's tough doing that. So why the change now? Why Sushi Roll? What really sparked that interest?
The big interest was I was doing theater at the time. I wasn't in Unchained anymore. I just recently left. I wasn't in the greatest mindset, and I think I just needed time for myself to understand what I actually wanted.
Yeah.
I knew I loved theater. I mean, I came from the Madrigals. I came from the medieval times. So being in a rock band was not second nature, but being a performer is, you know, that's who I am.
Well, does that have the base? I mean, you're going the rock band from Rocky Horror. I mean, come on, you got to think.
Yeah.
You got to think those connect. And
yes.
If everyone has never seen some of his Rocky Horror stuff, it's phenomenal. This guy worked out insanely, do a lot of cutting. We always talk to Jim about this stuff. We work out together. It's impressive, you know. And
you can check out the physique on my Instagram.
Ladies, you can check it out. You can't. You can go check mine, too.
Do it. He's been in the gym. I see him all the time.
I know. I was surfing the other day. I got a picture on there. You can follow JMVH.15.
You need to switch to Jack Hart Official.
I know I do. You know, my Twitter is the Jack Hart. I was like,
let's do that.
I don't know. I need to do it.
Yeah.
I switched my profile picture today. Put the
I did. I noticed that. I was like, man, he's looking official. You got to make that Jack Hart Official now.
It's crazy. Ladies, I am single if you want to know. You can reach out. All right. Well.
But back to that Rocky Horror Show. So I was doing Rocky Horror Show. Thanks for bringing that up. But I was approached by a couple of people in the area. So once again, back to the community.
Yeah.
You involve yourself in the community. People start knowing who you are, and they start asking questions. Hey, have you ever tried community theater? So I was actually reached out by Courtney Wick. Shout out Courtney Wick. She's amazing. She writes a lot of plays. She works for the Illinois Times. She reached out to me on Instagram and said, hey, I'm not a bot. I'm a real person, and just this whole long paragraph about, I think you'd be really good for this role. It's, you know, you got to be comfortable with singing.
Of course, yeah.
But singing in your underwear and nothing else.
And that takes confidence. It takes confidence, a good body, a lot of hard work.
And the confidence came from, I was already in the gym for so long that this was just, wow, like, finally, I'm going to get show ready because I've always wanted to do a bodybuilding competition.
As
so this
is.
Was
I mean,
this
yeah.
was closest thing to that. And I also got to sing. So that was pretty freaking rocking.
Yeah.
I couldn't pass that up. And I actually did it in between while I was doing Unchained still.
Okay.
And eventually, things just didn't work out. We just had different differences. And once again, like management, you know, take the advice or leave it and do your own thing.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to take the advice, but it was hard to kind of get everyone on board, especially with, like, what I wanted. And it was tough for, you know, a lot of those years. I made a lot of sacrifice. I left school a lot, you know, to gig, to do the band. And so this was the first thing I wanted to do for myself.
No, and that's exciting to actually say, okay, I need to do something for myself. And, you know, it's nothing, no hard feelings for anyone. But you went out there and said, okay, let's change it up. Let's do it. I love that. I love that.
And I switched it up, and thank God, seriously, that I did that, because that was the best thing I could have done in my life, hands down. You know, anything, being Madrigals, being in a rock band, Rocky Horror Show brought me back to who I was.
That's awesome.
You know, being confident, loving people for who they are, not being judgmental, understanding, hearing them out, connecting to different theater people. Theater people are the best people ever. Those people, hands down, will literally sit and talk to you, listen to you, for one. And they'll either give their opinion or will give you advice.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. And so I learned a lot from the cast, a lot of advice, especially leaving toxicity behind, you know, whether that was a relationship with friends, whatever, you know, different things I was doing, they taught me how to leave toxicity and to be myself. So during that whole show, right up until the opening night, I was going to a bar called Motorheads around here.
Yep.
And so my sister invited me out just for some drinks, right? Recently, you know, went through a bad breakup. I was single. I was like, okay, I need to get, you know, some fun time with my sister, you know, and her boyfriend, because I haven't hung out with them, God knows, for probably 3-4 years.
Crazy.
And for those years and stuff, I was crowded with different judgments and how to live my own life.
Yeah,
and so this is my first time. I was like, fuck it. All right, we're going to go. And I was so happy to go because I heard Sushi Roll Band was going to play that night.
There you go. There you go.
And I had, now he's a good friend, but Mike Shipman, he owns a place called Ashley's, which is a really nice, cute little like basement. It feels like a basement. You're going into like one of those typical, you know, mom like basements and stuff.
Yeah.
You have like the cute, like little different.
Like a boutique thing. Type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like signs and stuff. You have especially like lottery slot machines right
okay,
there.
Yeah.
And so he saw me and approached me, and he started talking to me about Rocky Horror, then started talking about the band, Unchained. And I said, I'm not in that band anymore. I'm focusing on trying to move up to Chicago because my Rocky Horror show, those videos I was posting online, I went from 1,000 followers to 10,000 in a matter of like 4 weeks.
That's awesome. Yeah, and you did a lot of promotion with that. I remember sitting there watching, and it was wonderful. It got people excited. It was really great marketing. Mm-hmm. From a marketing major, loved it.
The cool thing about it was that people were watching my videos in the audience. And I knew this because I had friends that came out from Fit Club.
Yeah.
Justin, right?
Yep, I know Justin.
He told me, he was like, dude, this is insane. I was literally looking. We were sitting way back, you know, in the top floor. And I'm looking down, you know, at all the people sitting and all their phones are out. Different videos. Like, here's a group in this row, right in front of them. They're watching me at Patricia's, right?
Yep.
There's another video of me working out, you know. Here's people on the left, same row. People 3 rows in front watching another video. They all came to my show because they were watching my videos.
It's a power of social media right there.
It really is. And so I started getting a lot of traction on social media from the Broadway community. Rocky Horror Show is this weird family that will always uplift you and is just so encouraging. And that has to do with, it's from 1975, but even kids our ages get into it.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't matter. Like, there is people coming there that were in their 80s, you know, like my grandma,
yep,
in their 90s, right? And they're all hooting and hollering when I'm coming on stage because it's a very interactive show. When I'm coming out on stage, if there's a line, you know, that somebody says, say if it's Janet or Brad, they say a line, and I come out there flexing, someone says, needs a bigger package. You know, it's just, it's really raunchy. It's really out there, but it gets you confident to just love your own skin and be in your own skin and be confident in yourself.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, you can look like whatever, but Rocky Horror Show, you can be yourself.
Well, and all the hard work you put into, I mean, I've seen you in the gym working out and everything, and you're like, okay, I actually get to go out and say, okay, this is how hard I work at doing workouts, along with I'm in school, I just got done with school, I have a job, you know, I'm working on trying to find a new band, stuff's going on in my mind, but you said, you know what, I'm gonna work hard at this, and it shows your dedication, really.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for noticing that, because I put in so much work into it, and it just resonated so well that I wasn't trying hard. I was doing it because I just loved it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the reason why I became to, you know, some of these top Broadway people are following me now on Instagram. You know, I'm having conversations with these people because I wanted to get into that community. So when it, back to our story with Mike Shipman, he's at Motorheads with me, and he's saying, dude, I got to introduce you to the drummer. Like, he's seen you before. I got to introduce you to the drummer. So after the show, he calls me over. He's talking to the drummer. You know, I give him a handshake. He's like, hey, my name's Trent Anderson. You know, I've seen your band Unchained, you know, for a while. Like, sorry to hear, like, you know, you just left the band. You know, I'm sure that's tough, but what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm thinking about going up to Chicago for theater because I started getting a lot of traction, right? So I was like, I want to be a touring Rocky. I want to be something where I'm touring off-Broadway. Not Broadway, but off-Broadway, because I want to tour the nation, go to different theaters and perform.
Yeah.
You know, if that's Rocky Horror, so be it. If it's something else, you know, like Something Rotten or Into the Woods or whatever, you know, musical, Hairspray, doesn't matter. I just want to do it. He gave me his phone number and said, give me a call if you're really thinking about Chicago and I'll hook you up. Because this band was from Chicago.
Yeah.
This was right before opening my Rocky Horror Show. A week later, my last performance of Rocky Horror Show, the morning of, he gives me a call. And meanwhile, this whole time I'm talking to my cast saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I really miss being part of the band. Maybe I want to get another band forming. So I was talking to castmates and people I met that we were going to form a band. Little did I know, this guy called me, Trent, asking, hey, do you want to be our new singer? Our singer is actually leaving the band.
It's
a full time. It's going to be 130 shows. We're going to tour around. Your first gigs that you're going to do are in Key West, Florida. And that was a big thing because I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I wanted to perform. Maybe that meant performing local at, you know, they're doing Greece this summer. I was going to try to be in Greece.
Yep.
And the Sushi Roll approached me.
There you go.
And they asked me, and it just fell into my lap.
And it happened.
And I went with it.
And it happened the perfect timing. Sometimes, you know, in life, it's just perfect timing right there. You're going, saying, okay, I don't know what to do. Boom, connection. You see Sushi Roll, and here you are. 6 months in and looking like you enjoy everything about it. So tell us about Sushi Roll now. You joined Sushi Roll. You're going to North Dakota. Key West is your first one. How fun is it? How much excitement has this been for you the last 6 months? How much a change in lifestyle as well? I mean, you have a new girlfriend as well. And how is she adjusting with that? Your family adjusting? How is that all working out?
So that's the big thing, is that the girlfriend and the family support me so much. They just want the best for me, and that's what's making me actually love being a part of this band.
That's
because
awesome.
Before, in my other band, I wasn't supported, you know, in the relationship.
Yeah.
Not with my family, but, you know, with said person, I wasn't supported. And that, to me, every time I had a gig, I was anxious. So again, with the set list, being anxious about our set list, I was also anxious about, oh, are you going to sing Happy Birthday to this girl? You know, oh, are you going to look at this person like blah, 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 blah. And the first weekend I had with my new girlfriend, she came up to me saying 4 or 5 different women, not girls, women, came up to her asking if she was dating me. And she said, yeah. And they're like, like all this stuff.
I would sit back and be like, that's a compliment. Yeah, I'm dating that weirdo up
and,
there, I swear.
And I'm just like, wow, and it didn't faze you? No. Interesting. Wow, really? Because that's what, at the end of the day, if you have people that support you for what you do, it makes it so much more easier
100%.
And enjoyable to be in the present, to be like, wow, people around me are envious. You know, I have people at Fit Club, members, you know, they're coming up to me. They're like, dude, I saw it. Like, you're the singer in Sushi Roll, right? Yeah. Dude, oh my God. You must freaking love it, like touring around and doing all this stuff. And sometimes I'm like super tired. It's like 7 a.m. and I just got 2-3 hours of sleep from the weekend.
Yeah.
It is a hard job. You know, if you're not used to being on the road and wanting to sleep in that corner with just a little blanket and maybe a pillow, if you can't do that, if you can't eat gas station food, it's not the life for you. You're going to really, really have a hard time. But if you're grounded and if you're humble and, you know, take the little things and take the big moments that are good, take those in and enjoy them.
Of course, yeah.
Because they come and go. Because a lot of times it might suck having to set up your own show, having sound issues. And then on top of that, say if the venue is not communicating to you correctly, they might not even know the band's going to play that day. So no one's there. So then you play to nobody.
Oh, man, yeah.
There's a lot of shows I did with Sushi Roll where I'm playing to literally like 10 people.
But, you know, it's 10 people at least. You try to make the most for them.
Exactly. It doesn't matter for the people who are not there. It's the people who are there that matter.
Yeah.
Like, that's who you play to.
And it shows you guys are like, no, we're not going to cancel. You said, okay, we will play for the small amount of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that shows, okay, we're going to come back and maybe more people. But it shows you guys mm-hmm. care about your fans and who's there watching and your support. You know, that's really important.
Yeah, and it also gives you more confidence because you go into some of these states. I've never been to some of these towns. I don't know what the people are. Every state, people act different, you know. Ohio people might be a little bit more reserved and a little bit more judgmental than Iowa people.
And that's something you wouldn't think.
You know, Iowa people are just super just enticed with the idea, like, you like look like this famous musician. You know, I'm going to these small towns. I was just in this small town, La Porte City, Iowa. And, dude, I had so many different autographs and pictures of all these different people, all ages, looking at me like I'm some freaking famous musician.
That's awesome.
And it's you take the good moments, like that moment, that was a great moment. And then, you know, this week I have three more shows, you know, some in Iowa, another one's in Michigan. I have no idea how the crowd's going to be. It could be completely different.
That's true, yeah.
There could be 10 people or there could be 1,000 people. And you got to play the same.
And do you come in with the same mindset? Say, I'm playing 10 versus I'm playing 10,000. Do you adjust to that? What just said, okay, we're doing the same show. We're having the same plan. Does that mm-hmm. change at all?
Playing the same show, playing the same intensity, you are always on. You never switch. If there's nobody there, it doesn't matter because there could be still one person in that group of 10 people who's going to say, hey, do you want to come out to my private party? I'll give you $10,000.
That's true. That's true. And it could be
that
some...
literally happened in Fargo, North Dakota.
Really?
Yeah, dude, we played to like 15, 20 people, and I was like, there ain't nobody here. And, you know, it's a little less, I don't want to say less stressful, because then you play in the bigger shows, and if something happens, you're like, damn, the sound just cut out. Like, all these people are like, what's going on? What's going on? You know, you turn yeah. the lights on or stop the music, people start questioning. They start like,
what's going on,
why is music not playing? So anything can happen on the road, and so that's what you take in. And playing that these different shows is, some people might really like it, some people might not, but the one person might offer you 10 grand.
That's true. It's always the one person. It could be the one person who gets you a huge gig somewhere too, you
yes
know?
Yeah,
you be can like, have any connection yeah. or producer or something, you just never know.
I'd be like, my brother's the sound engineer for you know, some big band. It could be like yeah. Coldplay. It could be, you know, like Green Day. They're like, well, my brother's their sound engineer. It's like,
of course.
Oh, okay, cool. You always, no matter what, and this is how it is just in general, you always be nice, you always show respect, because people will give you their energy back.
Yeah.
If you give them good energy, it takes a while for them to get into it, like this last weekend in La Porte City, which I keep on bringing that up because I was expected 800 people. I thought 800 people were going to be right there at 8 p.m.
Yep.
Nope. There's probably maybe 20. And they're all sitting down, drinking their beer. And I'm like, wow, are these people even going to get into it? At the end of the night, everyone was up.
There you go.
And it was filled everywhere.
I feel like that happens a lot where I go, and it's just early, you're not getting too much, and eventually people, you know, get interested. Because mm-hmm. they're sitting like, oh. This kind of looks fun. I want to get up and yep. dance like this guy named David up here on the mm-hmm. stage. Like 100%.
That's the thing, too, is like when you're performing, you're like, well, people aren't really getting into it. Just give it some time. You know, just stay the course, because odds are they'll start getting into it if they see other people get into it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So that's awesome that Sushi Roll is going well for you yeah. and everything's going exciting. Great girlfriend supporting. That's always key and crucial.
Yes.
Same with the family.
Yeah.
From knowing from experience. So just keep going on with talking today. So you're from Central Illinois. It's a smaller community. It's nothing too exciting, but there's a lot of successful people who come out of here. And you went around with your community support. What has like Central Illinois' biggest impact on you been? What's the most important thing coming from this area to becoming the head singer now at Sushi Roll?
The biggest thing I would say is coming back to that support. No matter what, even if you might not have a good show, you're still going to have people that support you. You know, there was a bad show I say it was a bad show, but it was probably a really good show at the Curve Inn. We had a really bad sound issues. And I had fans come up to me that had seen me in my last band. They haven't seen me in like 3-4 years, and they're still staying up to date with me.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. Because a lot of people around here, if you show them good respect, show them good energy, they're going to keep on coming back.
Yeah, 100%. And not to interrupt you, but this guy has always come up to me, said hi, asked how life's going, kept an update. He shows genuine care no matter who he's talking to. I mean, we didn't know each other much in high school. I was playing soccer and busy. He was doing his music stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we eventually, you know, kind of clicked at Fit Club, and that's who became good friends. But this guy's always had a good respect. You know, sometimes I'm having a bad day, he comes in, helps me out, vice versa. It's a personality and care. And, you know, always being happy, bubbly, exciting. I think that's the most important thing about you that I as a good friend admire from every time I run into you in places.
Oh, man, that means a lot. Likewise with you. I remember the first time meeting you at Fit Club. I was like, dang, why did I never talk to this kid in high school? Like, he's freaking sick. Like he's hilarious and he's got good charisma. I'm like, that goes a long way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I was happy when you told me you were going to do this podcast. I was like, dude, let me know.
Well, you were like the
I'll be here.
You were the first person I thought of. I mean, we're sitting there. I think we're at Fit Club last week. What, a week ago? I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
I'm
it was a week ago.
Week ago, I told him, like, we're recording. Said, I'm doing my sister first, but you're going to be hopping on your second. You got so much to share. And, you know, with everything you've done with the musical industry and how much you've done for this community, it's crazy. You think, you know, the community's done a lot for you, but you guys doing so much with Unchained and your Madrigals and you working at Fit Club, you know, you're there for the fans of the community. And I think that care and show you care about every single one, it's the most important value that I think that people really admire as you as a person.
Yeah. I mean, I learned it from my dad again. You know, my dad passed away 2 years ago, and every single time he talked to somebody, it was genuine.
That's
and
awesome.
Genuine care. And at his funeral, he had a line out the door. There's some of my friends were like, dude, I tried to be there, but I couldn't get in. Like, it was so packed. It was like a sellout crowd.
Yeah.
And so that's what you have to leave with. You want to leave a legacy like, wow, I miss that kindness. I miss that generosity. I miss that genuine quality about that person. And I think that's what keeps people coming back to watch me, you know, because it's not just me being a good entertainer, because there's tons of good entertainers out there. You know, Sushi Roll had a great entertainer before me, that singer. But was he the best with connecting the people?
That's true. And it's there's so much more than just being a good singer, a good entertainer, a good actor. There's so much more behind it, you know.
There is. There's a lot more than people realize that goes on behind the scenes. I'm sure you guys know that.
Yeah, of course. And I mean that even in life, you know, you're sitting there, most thing to be is genuine, like your father, which, you know, sorry he passed and stuff, but to have a line going out, it means he had an impact on people and showed that because he cared, people cared. And that's the most important thing, is to be true, genuine, and care. And you keep being you. I'm telling you, you keep being you.
Yeah, man.
You're going to be just set. So with you keep being you, what's the future for David Allen look like? Where Sushi Roll, Broadway, The Voice, American Idol, come on, what do we
got? I was thinking, you know, for a year I was auditioning for those shows, and I talked to a couple of producers. I was so close to going over to Ireland for one show.
That'd
it was
really
it
cool.
was called Don't Forget the Lyrics, and I'm terrible at remembering lyrics, so I don't know how that would work.
That's like one of those videos where, like, don't forget them, and they push you in a pool or something like that. They on TikTok. Well, that'd be terrible. I'm terrible at it.
Down the road, I would love to have my own TV show.
Awesome.
If I'm being honest,
I love it.
I loved looking at the Anthony Bourdain, if you know him, or you know, I grew up watching Jimmy Fallon a lot.
Yep, that's a good
you know,
one.
That's all, and they're all entertainers. But at the end of it, they're all connecting with people. They're asking people what's going on. They're getting their insights. They're giving their own advice, but they're also taking advice.
Hey, podcasting's so, good for that too, by the way.
Yeah, man. And it's a way for you to just understand, like, what do I want to do? When you hear, when you go on the road and stuff, you hear different things that people do. Oh, man, I kind of want to do that. I kind of want to sell houses. Oh, I kind of want to become a lawyer. Oh, I kind of want to do this. And so this whole time I've been touring, I think, you know, down the road, I'm definitely going to get in back to personal training.
Yeah.
I've always personal trained my own friends. You know, whenever I'm giving advice, I want to give them good advice. It's not like, you know, oh, man, I'm too tired. Like, I'll just say, like, just go on the cardio. Just go on the steps. Like, no, I'm going to say how to do it, what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, what shoes you're going to wear, because I genuinely want that person. It's called compersion. And this is what I learned on the road with Head PE, is that compersion is you want to see somebody else's success is what you love to see. It's not of I'm jealous because they're being successful. It's I'm happy that you're successful and I'm happy that you're doing this. So whenever I go around and tour, I want to see people. I want to definitely have them in a way be influenced. And so I'll always be entertaining, whether that's with Sushi Roll, you know, because it's not a full time. It's full time in the summer, right? I'm going to have a couple week shows where I do five shows a week.
Goodness gracious.
You know, and Broadway people, I did want to do Broadway until you got to do 8 shows a week.
That's impressive. I mean, and Broadway's wonderful. I've been to so many plays, and it's just those. You said again that the theater audience, they're incredible people.
Yeah,
incredible.
Every time you do even a line, you're clapping. You know, you're showing encouragement. So I think my future is going to be something with personal training, continuing to entertain, whether that might be in Sushi Roll or might be in a theatrical program, any of those. And then essentially I would love to have maybe a business or my own TV show with my name on it.
The David Allen Show.
That's right.
It's David Allen here. We're going to interview the top people in the industry. I think you'd be great.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the...
all you need is a studio like this.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the David Allen Show, where we talk about your problems. I think you'd be good with like a call-in show. You have random people call in.
Oh, wow. You're giving me ideas. Look at that.
I think it'd be fun. I'd love to do a call-in show. And do you remember me from back in the day? Nah. No, but good to hear from you. I love it. I love it. I think whatever you're going to do, you're going to be successful at. No matter what.
Thank you.
And I'll be here supporting, watching you. I mean, as I said, everyone, early today, I was scrolling on Instagram because I'm posting everything for us. And here's David with his little day in the life travel video. And I saw, I think this weekend, it poured down rain on you or something. Yep. And you and your guest, your other singer came running in.
Came running in, yeah.
So I think her socks were wet or something.
Oh, dude, yeah. She got her whole feet was drenched. I was telling my bandmates, I'm like, watch the puddle. They're right in the puddle.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, that's the part about, you know, being in the gigging mode is that every day is going to be different.
And I
kind of like that. You know what I mean? I don't like having the typical 9-to-5. I like kind of being spontaneous. Oh, this is going to happen today. Ooh, that might happen. Oh, that's not going to happen today. You know, just roll with the punches.
It's fun. It's exciting. It's what I'm doing. I mean,
roll through the punches.
Sushi roll through the punches, everyone. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. That's the best in life. They're like, okay, here's another day. Make the most out of it. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Make the most out of it. So our last question for you as I have you on. So people who are, you know, looking to hop into your industry, you 5 years ago, what's advice you'd give to them or you give to yourself 5 years ago looking in, you know, you're 18 years old, you're thinking about college, you're thinking about the music industry. What's the main advice you got for that?
Definitely a reason why you're doing it. Why, for anything, why do you want to cut down to, you know, 6-7% body fat? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to be a musician? A big reason a lot of people kind of forget is the why. Why are you doing this podcast? What do you take out of this? And the big why for me is that I'm always trying to entertain somebody. If I'm not, or trying to make somebody happy, you know, I want to make sure that their night is made before my own. Like my birthday, when my birthday comes around, I want to make sure everyone in the room is having a good time.
There you go.
I don't give a crap if I'm having a bad time. I just want to make sure everyone else out there is having a good time.
That's
my why.
That's selfless. My why. Selfless is the word I think for that one. You know, and I love the why. I love the why.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I think that's what a lot of people need to have is why am I doing this?
Yeah.
That's a big thing a lot of people forget because you can be going down, which I've done this before, going down to 6%, 7% body fat because I wanted to look like these models. I wanted to do this. But the why am I doing this? Is it to feel healthy or is it because I want to be like somebody else?
It's true. It's the truth. It's a thought. I mean, it's the reason I go to the gym. It's like, why am I doing that? Why am I going to the gym? Why not sitting down?
You know what's funny is that I posted a picture of myself in the casino workout facility and somebody slid up on my story and they're like, is it me or are you getting smaller? And dude, I was in the gym in the next morning. Like,
that's fighting words. I'm like, I'm lifting big today,
and
boys.
You know, like, it was not a good reason for why am I doing this to be healthy. It's I'm doing this because somebody said I was small. And that's where the ego comes in, you know?
Sometimes you need that little push of motivation, I'm telling you. Sometimes a little insult, you're like, okay, I'll show you. I'm here. I'm not messing around.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, that's a big thing, the why.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thing. Awesome. Well, guys, we had a great time with Dave today. We thank you for being on the show. We'll probably have you on the show in a couple months again just to get an update from you. And, you know, this might be a two-part segment. It's a long talk, but nothing wrong with that, you know? I loved all you have so many stories, and there's so many more to come. And we wish you – I wish you the best. Anthony over here, he wished you the best and everything. And yeah. I'm excited. I haven't seen Sushi Roll in person yet. I've been on vacation for all your gigs. Do you have one coming up close in the Springfield area?
Coming close, July 4th, we'll be at the Rock the Dock event. It's going to be at the marina. So at Rock the Dock, why they call it that is because the boat's right there. They're rocking to the fireworks. See, so it's going to be fireworks right after we play. We're going to play at 7:20 p.m., probably till about 9:30, and then fireworks are going to be after us on the lake. And so that's the next time we're playing. And then other than that is the State Fair, Illinois State Fair.
There we go. State Fair and Rock the Dock, which is a wonderful event. I used to work at the marina there, and we put it on.
That's right.
Yeah, I used to work out there, and I'll probably go out there and watch you. And then my grandparents live around the corner. I'll hop on the boat and watch fireworks. So anyone wanting to watch Sushi Roll in Central Illinois, you got two big opportunities. I'm telling you. And that's an entertainer you want to go and watch. I'm telling you. It'll be very, 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 very fun. So.
See you at the show.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Well, David, thank you for coming on. This episode is created by Heart Media Group, LLC. We want to thank you, Heart Media Group, for this production. If you're looking for an episode to start a podcast, to really create any type of digital media, just reach out to us. We are here. You can give me a call at 217-801-2909. And I repeat that, 217-801-2909. Or you can email at heartmgdigital@gmail.com. And, you know, we would love to work with you guys. As long as, you know, we're working with David here, we're going to have a lot more people coming on this podcast. We have a couple more podcasts coming out here soon that we will announce in the next couple weeks to keep you guys on the edge of things. But, David, it was wonderful to have you again. And make sure, everyone, to follow us on our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. I'll be tagging you and stuff, getting a couple reels out there. It's going to be fun. Social is going to be great. And I think your fans are going to love this type of stuff.
I think they will thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah. So you get to see it's not, you know, anytime you get to see the inside of the guy who's making these fun videos and doing the band stuff. So I think this would be awesome for your fans. It's going to be awesome for my audience. It's wonderful. So thanks for being here.
We're here to help each other out.
Of course. That's what we're doing.
Come Persian.
Of course. Of course. Well, thank you guys. And I hope you guys have a wonderful morning, a wonderful week, and a great weekend. Thanks for watching.